Welcome to part two of our conversation with Dr. Christy Madow, a scientist with an extensive background in oncology, molecular biology, genetics. In this episode, Dr. Madow shares her experiences in inspiring the next generation to pursue careers in STEM. Dr. Madow is a proud founder and CEO of Baby Scientists, a nonprofit organization established in 2018 to educate, motivate, and inspire children from underserved communities and underrepresented populations to pursue careers in STEM. Through Baby Scientists, Dr. Madow has reached over 8,000 students and established partnerships with the DEA, DEA Educational Foundation, and DMV NSBE Jr. to inspire children from underserved communities. In this episode, Dr. Madow discusses the importance of representation in STEM and the role of mentorship in helping young people overcome imposter syndrome and succeed in their careers. She also shares insights on building community partnerships and the challenges and rewards of running a nonprofit organization.
So if I tried to stay, because I was really close, I was like 10 and a half, 11 months in the game. And I felt the pressure. I felt the pressure coming on me, like they were gonna, you know, fire me. And so I was like, so 9 months in, I was like, you know what? Let me do a detail and get out of here, and I'll be in a detail while my year is up. And so when I come back, I can avoid getting fired like that. Because in the government, you can go to another agency or another division and train for like a month or 2 months or 3 months. And so I'd found in the job, and it was like the investigative microbiologist that goes out to the companies and stuff. And so I was able to get that detail. So I got permission from my director. She's like, sure, you can seek out a detail. And so I sought it out, and I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And I was like, what happened? So I called them. I was like, hey, I said, I put in my application for the detail. They were like, oh yeah, we accepted you, but your supervisor denied it. What?
This is a...
Yeah. So I was like, so I got approved for the detail to leave my division and go to another division and actually learn another position. But my supervisor denied it. So my supervisor was right underneath the director. And so I went to him. I was like, why did you deny it? And they're like, well, because we didn't think this was a good time, and you weren't. And, you know, we felt like you really needed to focus on, you know, what you're doing here and stay here. And I was like, so his answer was some BS. And I was like, oh, hell no, they really after me. So they not even gonna let me go. Why not? Why? Why can't I go? If you don't want me, if you don't think I'm doing good work here, let me go somewhere else. No, they just rather fire a black person. They don't even want to give you a chance. You know what I'm saying? And so that was just, I mean, after that, I was deflated after that. And so I pondered and pondered, and I was like, I have to resign. You know, there's no other way. I don't want to get fired, because, you know, if I do, you know, get a, you know, I do want to have the opportunity to get another job in the government. And so I resigned like 11 and a half months in the game. I resigned before I got fired. And then again was another dark time in my life. You know, it took me back to grad school when I was, you know, without a home, without a job, without a place to be in. And so I was depressed for a while, and I struggled. I still have struggled to find a job. That's been the most disappointing thing about being a scientist and a PhD, is that I have struggled finding jobs. And so I left the DMV Maryland area. I moved back to Oklahoma. I was like, well, I'll go. This is my time to go back home and be with my mom, be with my family. And I said, maybe I can find a job there. But I didn't. I wasn't able to find a job in Oklahoma. So I left Oklahoma after like a year and a half, 2 years, came back to the DMV. And so I resigned at the end of 2015. And so that's when I moved to Oklahoma, in December 2015. But I was back in the DMV by 2017, like mid-May, August. May of 2017. Because I was... I was only able to find adjunct positions, right? I couldn't even find a
Yeah.
full-time position as a professor. And so I was working part-time, and I'm like, you know what? I can do this back in the DMV and be with my boo and my friends that are supportive and everything. So that's what I did. I came back to the DMV and got a position at a community college where I am still to this day teaching as an adjunct. And so it was during that time, that dark time without a full-time job, that I was like, now is the time to really go after, to start my, nonprofit. It's something that I always want to do. And
Yeah.
well, you put stuff off, you put it off, you put off, because you always think, oh, when I'm in a better position, or when I have more money, or when I'm, in a better situation, I'll do it then. But there never was a better position, a better time.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I got to push through. So, so I prayed a lot. I reflected a lot, and I didn't have a lot of money, and so to file the application was like, $400. And so it was tight. It was tough, but I pushed through. I did it. My friends helped me do my bylaws. They're like, come on, Christy, we're gonna help you. Let's do it. You wanna do it, let's do it. So my friends were really encouraging. They were really supportive of me, which is, you can't put a value on that, the support of your friends and family and foundation. And so they helped me get it together, and so I finished it up. And then I started it, and even then, I started, and that's been going good. It's been growing. It's been growing. And then the pandemic hit, because I started in 2018. I was official in 2018, but I was still working as a part time. And I also was applying. I applied for a couple of full time positions at the community college that I'm in now. They one interview. I got interview. I got all the way to the final. I was like the final two, and then cricket. Didn't hear anything. And then the next time I applied was last year. I applied for a position here full time, and they didn't even give me an interview. And
What?
I was like, and it's the camp, and it was on the campus that I teach at right now. And I was like, what in the, my dean had told me, she's like, Christy, apply. They got a position. I was like, okay, I will. And they didn't even give me an interview. And I was like, and I went to the provost. At this point in the game, I'm like, I'm just as great as anybody in here, whether you're teaching, whether you're admin or what, I'm just as great. You know what I'm saying? And that's what you have to know. You have to be your own advocate. And that's what I've been my entire life, has been my own advocate, my own cheerleader. I pump myself up. And some people are like, oh, you cocky, this and that. I have to be. Because if I'm not my own fan, my biggest cheerleader, who's going to be there for me? Who's going to do it? Who's going to advocate for me if I don't advocate for myself? You can't be afraid to speak up, and you can't be afraid to see yourself and envision yourself as just as good, just as important, and just as great as anybody out there. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care what position they're in. They are a human being just like you. And then you are just as smart. You are just as capable, or more than capable, than people in the positions that are there. And so that's what I, at a point in time in my life, in my depression, that's what I came out with. Like, I'm just as great. I have my PhD. I have the knowledge. I have the expertise. Can't nobody deny. I'm like, my resume is better than over half the people that I work with. So why not? So I went. I sent the provost my resume, and I was like, why didn't I get an interview? I said, they didn't even give me an interview. Why not an interview? Oh, yeah. I said, I've been teaching at this campus for 5 years in the department. And
What?
they went and got another adjunct from a whole nother campus, and hired her. And oh, and she, but what was she? Indian. And I was like, it's hard out here. Even when you have the degrees and everything to compete, you are still behind. You still have to fight and struggle. And so it's like, And I got an answer. You know, he talked to the director of the department, and she came up with some flimsy answer of, oh, because you don't have training in hybrid courses, you need to take that.
Okay, I
Exactly.
can tell you that's a lie right there. You know, we went through COVID. Nobody had training.
Nobody.
Nobody
Nobody.
had training.
Nobody.
Nobody had. Okay,
And
wow.
this was after COVID. Okay. I done talked a year and a half in the pandemic at home. But you still want me to have this hybrid training course. Oh, and she's been adjuncting longer than you. You know, she's been adjuncting 13 years. Okay. Okay. That's all they could give me. I said, but not even an interview, not even an opportunity, you know. And I think that it's disheartening, but you can, even after all of this crap, you can't let it hold you down. You can't let it deter you from being great and going towards your goals and working towards your goals, you know. So it's a mercy.
And one thing I just want to point out, because that's it's crazy. Just that they don't, because it is, you know what I'm saying? And we're getting to a point with this. My generation, we going through this right now. I feel like I got several friends who was applying, and we got PhDs, and we still looking and all that type of stuff too. And that's the other side, unfortunately, you know, that they don't talk about as much
Right.
when you're going through this process and getting this type
Right.
of degree, the after the fact, right? What is it going to look like? But
That's right.
even during this time with you, something beautiful came out of all of this, which is baby scientists.
Yep.
And can you just expound on, for the people who do not know about your nonprofit, what exactly is baby scientists, and how is that impacting your community right now?
So Baby Scientist is my science education nonprofit, and I developed it, I created it to with the hopes of creating more Black scientists and introducing science to kids whose families never talk about it or don't even know about it, you know, or don't even think that they can be in that arena, you know, or have a career in that. And so we are a mobile organization. We go out into the communities. We go to different cities, different states, and we hold workshops, hands-on science workshops. And with these experiments that I do with the kids, you know, because I'm a scientist, because I'm a real scientist. I mean, because there are people out here that have nonprofits that, you know, trying to inspire and educate kids, which is great. But because I'm a real scientist, I want to give you the science behind what we're doing. So every experiment that I do, I give a PowerPoint presentation to the kids, and I'm telling them what we're doing, why we're doing it, what's involved, what are you working with, and I want them to leave with not only the success and the confidence that they are great and can do science and but I want them to leave with some type of knowledge of what they just learned, you know, if it's a word, if it's an idea or what. But yeah, my goal is to inspire and to educate and to uplift our communities and our children through science, through these hands-on experiments, and some are more complicated than others. But in the experience that I do, I adjust them for all ages because I work with, you know, K through 12 or higher, you know, but I've also worked with babies as young as 2 years old. You know, I've done a volcano with a 2-year-old. I've done a volcano with a 16-year-old, and it's the same, you know, result from both. But you know, you just make it a little more complex, and you put a little more knowledge into it, a little more background into it for the older students. But my goal is to expose these kids to Black scientists, and to expose them to the fact that, hey, this is something that you can do. Yes, you could be a doctor, a lawyer, a nurse, a policeman, but you can also be a molecular biologist, a engineer, aerospace engineer. You can be a computer scientist. You can be a marine biologist. You can be, you know, you can be a chemist. You can do any of these because you have the capability to do that. You know, you are just as smart as anybody in your class. And I tell the students that all the time. And I always give them big ups. I encourage them. Oh, you're so smart. You're doing so well. Look what you figured out. And I say, I said, what you guys have accomplished today, don't let anybody tell you you're not good at science. Right. So when you go back to your schools, you know that you are good at science and you can figure it out and you can accomplish whatever is put in front of you. That's what I try to tell these kids and to instill in them, you know, and to motivate them, you know, and to give them the confidence. And even if they don't become a scientist or pursue, you know, STEM careers, whatever you pursue, whether it be the arts or, you know, anything else.
Yeah.
You have the confidence that you can do it because you accomplished what you did with baby scientists and Dr. Christie, right? It was something hard, but you accomplished it and you overcame it, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm always trying to instill and encourage in the kids that I work with and that I come in contact with. And you know, and it's just so beautiful every time, you know, I do these when kids are like, oh, I'm a scientist. Oh, I love science. You know, when you hear that, it's just like, yes, you know, I have to pat myself on the back because it's like, yes, and I hope that it can stay with them and I hope that it can, you know, go with them as they matriculate through their educational journey. And and it's like I did a school a couple of weeks ago, 300 students. It was the most I've ever done before. I was like, oh my God, what have I got myself into? But you know, that because I normally hold, you know, like 30, 40, you know, I can handle those, but I did 300. I'm like, okay. And but one of the little kids was and the other thing is I try to primarily stick with kids of color. And so this school was majority white. And I when I got there, I was like, I gave that lady the side eye. Cause I was like, and I gave you a deep discount because I thought I was working with my babies, but it's all good. I was like, you know, white kids need to see a black scientist as well. They need to know we, you know, I realized that after. I was like, they need to know that they're black people that are scientists too.
Yeah.
And
I totally agree with you. I totally, because with that, I just want to point out, it's just like there's studies of to where, you know, white kids being exposed to professors who are other races, they actually do better in class. They don't talk about that. You know, they don't talk about that, but in reality, you know, having that exposure to something different, they kind of do a little bit better. So I'm glad you brought that up because, you know what I'm saying, seeing any scientist is great, but seeing another person of race doing the same thing, it just brings something different out. You know what I'm saying? And in that situation, right, that white kid seeing a black woman doing this stuff just shows a different way, a new light. So I love that. I love that.
And one of the little white boys came up to me. He was like, because we that day we designed a DNA. You know, I gave him a little circular thing and it had a helix on there and they put the nucleotides in there. And so they were like, he was like, I'm going to be a DNAist when I grow up. And I was like, yes, DNA is, there's no such thing, right? But he made it up. And he's going to be a scientist.
He's the first one. He's going to be the first one.
The first. And I was like, oh my God, that is beautiful. He was so happy and so excited, you know, with you know, what they had learned. And I'm like, you know, this is great. This is great. And, you know, all the little white kids coming up to me and hugging me. And, you know, I was just like, okay, they need this too. They need it just as much as my black students do. And so I was like, this is all right, you know, and, you know, there was a little boy that came up to me. He was like, my mother's a doctor, but I've never met a scientist before. You're the first scientist I've ever met. And I was like, okay, all right, then, you know,
first scientist he met who's a black woman too.
Right. So, you know, so exposing them to me and to the students. And I try to make sure that my interns are all brown too, black, Hispanic, whatever. And sometimes I introduce them. If I have the time, I just, you know, this is so-and-so. They are in college to be a doctor or a biologist or a scientist or computer science. You know, let them see, oh, they're, you know, they're younger, they're close to my age, you know, and they're pursuing, they're in college and they're pursuing their dreams. And so that's important to And that's important too. And I tell, you know, my interns, it's like, when we go out, it's all about encouraging. It's all about uplifting. Even if the kids get on your nerves, because kids can say some of the darndest things, right? But yeah. Even if they call you crazy and like, why are you wearing that? Because they check me all the time. Why are you sweating so much? I'm like, because my belly big, okay? Because I'm hot, because I'm working hard. But yeah, they're like, why are you sweating? But that's what I do. I give it my all. And when, by the time I'm done, I'm drenched, you know, when I'm touching and trying to inspire and motivate. But yeah, and so Baby Scientist, we, you know, I'm located here in Virginia, but, you know, I'm in DC, I'm in Maryland. You know, I'm going to Philadelphia next week. I've been to LA. I've done stuff in Oklahoma. So I'm all over the place, and wherever you want me to come, and you know, if we can get the funds together, you know, to support it, you know, I'm game. And luckily I have been able to collaborate with the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. And okay. So I'm doing part of their outreach. And so that's what's really, you know, helped me to expand and grow.
Yeah.
Is working
real big. Real. And congratulations, by the way, too, just having that partnership. That's huge, you know, getting that government partnership. I got a question for you. So based on your experience in the community, right? You know what I'm saying? You got, as you mentioned, there's tons of organizations out here who do similar work, but it's only certain ones that actually be out there doing the work. Mm-hmm. Y'all get what I mean?
Yeah.
What, and then I'm just talking about Black community in this case. In this case, I'm curious on what you think. Why do you think that we're not promoting STEM in that nature? I have my reasons, but I'm curious, just like, why do you think our culture, why is this not the cool thing or the thing to do? Even though there's a big push from the government and everybody else wanting STEM education, why in our community are we not pushing this?
Because it looked at as, you know, nerds and you know, our community, we all about being cool and what's cool and what's high, you know, in science and everything isn't looked at as a cool type of profession or thing, you know, because it's you know, oh, you're a nerd, and I'm like, I ain't never called myself a nerd. I ain't no nerd. I'm just as fresh and fly as the next person out here, you know. That's how I exist in my head. So whatever you think is on you. But I think just because a lot in these communities, a lot of the parents don't know, and they haven't been exposed, and so they don't know to pass it on to their children, and it's just not something that's looked at as like, you know, something that's, you know, possible. That's another thing outside of being cool. It just seems so far and so impossible to do, because, you know, there's always such a negative connotation on science and math as it being so hard, and, oh, we ain't smart enough to do that. And it's like, yes, we are. You know, you don't know until you try. And so I just think the negative connotation and the stigma attached to the sciences and STEM careers is what keeps our community from pursuing those careers.
Yeah, I see the same situation. Very, very similar. I feel like the same ideals here. Just because of, you know, we're only exposed to certain things. And if you're only exposed to certain things, you are going to do those things. You know what I'm saying? And because of that lack of exposure, that means that you don't even acknowledge those possibilities, unfortunately. So I definitely agree. And it's kind of like, it's going to take what I realize is that, unfortunately, it's going to have to be a shift in the community from multiple people. So it's like, we can't, because what I believe that happened in the back, great leadership is what I think about.
Yep.
Martin Luther King is one of my examples, one of my people I aspire. And, you know, we had that great leadership. Unfortunately, when he passed, that kind of diminished all of everything else during this time.
I agree.
So I feel like the grassroots approach of how we look at it is like we be directly in the community impacting multiple people, to where it's going to take a village, as they say, right? to how the shift occurred. But I think you're exactly spot on, to be honest. It's just like that exposure is key. And you know what I'm saying? If your environment is not exposing you to these things, you will never even seek out these things, unfortunately.
And like with one community center that I did a workshop at, we made it into a family night because so families bring your kids, you know, and come with them, you know, don't leave them. You come and you do the experiments as well, because that's another aspect that I feel like is overlooked when these organizations and the government is putting all this money into, you know, these communities or these programs, is that the families need to be involved, because getting a degree in a STEM field is hard, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not easy. So that student needs to stand on a firm foundation. And what is that firm foundation? Their parents or their grandma or their aunt or their cousin, whomever they get their support from. That needs to be a solid foundation to hold them up, because it's going to be tough as they go through and try to get that degree. When they hit calculus, when they hit biochem, physics, you know, they're going to want to give up, but they have to have somebody in their ear saying, no, you don't give up. Just keep pushing. You can do it. You can make it. They don't need somebody in their ear. Told you you couldn't do this. Told you this stuff was too hard. Told you.
You know, they're going to be there. They're going to be there too. They will be there saying
they it. Will they... be there. And so it's like they need somebody there. They need a good foundation to hold them up, because that baby's going to struggle, you know, and I know it from firsthand. I struggled too, but I had a good foundation, and then just my inner motivation didn't let me quit. It's like, oh, well, you know, I'll keep pushing, I'll keep going. But some people don't have that. A lot of people don't have that, and they need that. And so to have the families come and experience this and see their kids get so excited when they do these experiments, that's something that the parent needs to see and to continue to seek out for their child and to continue to motivate them and to encourage them to pursue STEM careers or whatever it is that they think their child needs to pursue to you know, to become a professional or whatever, to get a degree. So that's important. And you know, these organizations, you know, like I was selected as a DOD STEM ambassador, Department of Defense. And so I was a STEM ambassador for a year for the DMV area. And so the DOD has this big initiative that they got funded like back in 2018, I think. And it's to increase their workforce and also decrease the diversity of their workforce. So they want to educate, you know, more kids of color and people of color, and encourage them to get into the sciences so that they can build their workforce back up, because the DOD is the largest employer of STEM careers. And so, but the problem that I have with them, you know, going through this whole year with the DOD, is that they be throwing money to all these organizations where everybody just having meetings. We meeting and we talking about this. We meeting and talk about this. We're meeting and talk about this. Mm-hmm. Oh, come up with a paper and come up with this for me so I can explain this and why this is this. What about boots on the ground? Mm-hmm. What about funding boots on the ground? And so I'm like, that's what I'm trying to do. I said, baby, scientists need to hit a lick. I need somebody to give me some money so that I can get out here and be and you know, touch more people and hit more ground, you know, because, you know, that's deadly giving money to these organizations to study the situation. Mm-hmm. We don't need to study anymore. You know, we already know. Yep. You know, let's put some money into the grassroots organizations that mm-hmm. are out here trying to make a difference for real in, you know, these kids' lives. That's, you know, up in the hood or up in the urban areas, you know, as they call it and all this and that, you know, and it's like, let's go to more HBCUs, because they get hold of one HBCU and they drag the HBCU to death. Like the DOD has stuck on the Morgan State, and boy, they trying to get Morgan State to satisfy every you know, initiative, you know, of the that they need to do. It's more HBCUs out here. Let's get these black college students and that's what they do. They get the black college students to do these programs with the kids in the community. That is a wonderful program. It's called a near peer program. Let's do more of that with HBCU.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In turn, you are educating and putting money in the college students' pockets, but you're also educating, you know, the kids in the communities and exposing them to the STEM careers and to science. And it's like, they don't get it. You know, they just don't get it. And it's just like, come on, I need y'all to. And they have some great programs out there. Don't get me wrong. They do have some great programs, but you have to know, right? Because I didn't even know about all the programs the DoD has until I was a part of their organization as an ambassador. And so it's like, how does somebody in the heart of DC know about the DoD programs?
Yeah.
If you had an organization out there in them streets, like Baby Scientists, we could let them know. You know what I'm saying? But they don't get that. They don't get that because, and everybody want outcomes. Everybody want outcomes. You know, somebody, and I'm like, I don't put together, you know, I don't have a, you know, like, come on. You know, everything written up.
That, formally. It is so much paperwork you got to do to get the money, and there's so much paperwork you got to do to even spend the money.
Yes. Yes, it's nuts. It's nuts. And so, you know, my goal is to have a mobile laboratory that I can drive through the communities and have workshops on my lab and go directly into the communities like that and have multiple, I would like multiple labs. You know,
listen, you got to see somebody look like you. You know what I'm saying?
And
it's enough money out here. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, let's speak this in existence right now. There will be enough money, funding for baby scientists to get that mobile lab. Yeah. I'm saying that for sure. I definitely believe in that. So, okay. What a couple of questions I just have for you. Mm-hmm. And what are your goals for baby scientists? What do you want to see happen in the next couple of years? Yeah.
Yeah, in the next couple of years, I definitely would like to have a mobile laboratory. That is my opinion.
And then for the people, just to explain, you know what I'm saying, what is a mobile lab, and then how is this a beneficiary for the community?
For sure. So a mobile lab is like, and what most of them look like are like a motor coach, and they gut it and they make it into a laboratory. So it's like a laboratory on wheels. And so and it has a bench in there, and it has, you know, different things that the kids can do. And some people have a mobile laboratory. It's just all microscopes. And then some have it to where it can open up and be like a laboratory, and the kids can do experiments and stuff. And so that's my main goal that I would like to achieve, is to have a laboratory on wheels that I can. Excuse me, that I can go, like, I can ride up to an apartment complex, you know, in an underfunded area and be like, hey, come to the community center on this day. You can get on the mobile lab and do experiments, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do, in addition to, you know, holding different, the different workshops that I do. And I'm also torn because I like what I do now. And so I'm going to have to figure out how to, put both of them together, like going out and doing workshops in you know, in community centers and churches and schools and stuff, but also having the mobile lab as well. So I'm going to continue both, but I definitely would like to have that mobile laboratory. And, you know, plus, you know, have my name on the side, baby scientist on the side. So more exposure for me, which would, you know, be more funding, because I'm looking for that big funder out there, somebody who can give me, you know, $500,000, $1 million. I believe I'm going to keep reaching for it. That is my goal, because, you know, all these athletes, hip hop, entertainment, I want somebody from the culture to come and fund baby scientists. That's what I need. You know, I welcome money from all, but I just feel like, you know, Black folks, let's invest in each other. And and so, because a mobile laboratory to the type that I'm looking for is, well, you know, inflation has gone up, but maybe 3-4 years ago, it was about $300,000 to $500,000, you know, to purchase the motor coach and then to convert it into a mobile lab. So it's probably more now with everything. So I might need 2 million, but, you know, I'll start with just one. So
hey, go ahead. Yeah,
so it's gonna happen. I believe it, and hope, and I know that it'll happen eventually.
Yeah, I believe it too. We, like I said, we put that out there, so it's a matter of time. Two questions to end everything today. First question. What is some advice you would give somebody seeking a career in the sciences? In this case, STEM careers, but because you have your science background, what advice would you give somebody seeking this out?
Honestly and truly, you know, because there is a bigger push to get more people of color into the STEM workforce and in STEM careers, I would tell them to go for it and don't be deterred by what obstacles may come in your way, you know, and because everybody experiences them, you know, not just Black folk, everybody experiences them. And so, you know, no journey is without barriers. As far as a graduate degree also, I kind of tell people to go towards an MD, right? Because you can do research as an MD. But you can't because these days, it's so hard to get a job as a PhD because our degrees are so, people don't view them as, although we have the expertise and we have the knowledge and we have the skills and we have the soft skills for a lot of things, when they're looking for a particular position, they don't think that we fit particularly in that mold. And so if you are looking to have a career and get paid and have a good income and you want to be a scientist, the MD route is a way to go, right? Because MDs always have jobs. There's always a hospital, there's always a clinic, and you can also, as an MD, get hired as a professor, and you can do research. And so you double dip, because that's what the guy who, the Black man who I first did my graduate work with, he was an MD, but he had a lab at Vanderbilt, and he went to the clinic, you know, a couple of days out of the week, and then the rest of the time he was in the lab doing research. And so he got paid as an MD, and he also got paid as a PhD. And I saw some of his checks, and I was like, those are nice. I would like those one day. You know, I haven't got them yet, but eventually. it's really hard out here for PhDs. And I mean, the pharmaceutical route is definitely, because I have a lot of friends in the pharmaceutical industry. So if you want to get your PhD and go in pharmaceuticals, you can. But you can also do that as an MD, because I have a couple of friends who are MDs that are in the pharmaceutical industry. So it's you know, I just think that as an MD, you have a higher chance of having a job and a steady income versus a PhD, because we grind out here, and people respect your PhD. Don't get me wrong. They respect it. They respect your intelligence. They value it. But when it comes to hiring, for some reason, they don't give you as much credence as they should. That's just been my experience. And so everybody's experience is different. I know, but I would push them towards that area, honestly and truly. And dental, you know, dental degrees, man. I know some dentists out here balling, you know. So, it kind of depends on what you want in the end. You know, you have to kind of know what you want.
Yeah,
as your end game. You know, and I know we all want security and, you know, financial security, because a lot of us, you know, our families aren't rich. And so that's what we're looking for. And we ain't getting rich, but we would like more financial security. And so that's one way to get it as an MD, because the track is pretty much the same. You know, graduate schools, you know, anywhere from 5 to 7 years. MD, you go 4 years and then you do a fellowship and your residency, and same thing with PhD. You got to do postdoc. Sometimes you do 2 or 3 of them. So before you can actually get that full-time position. So, you know, That's what. But whatever you choose, never give up. Never give up, and never, and always keep your eye on the prize. And regardless of what comes your way, just know that you're capable and able, and you're just as good as the next person.
Love it. Thank you for that. That's very. I like that perspective. That's a different perspective. Net. And then last question here. What is the biggest limiting belief you've overcome?
I haven't overcome this one.
Yeah.
But I was always told when, as I was pursuing my education, you know, because I got my undergrad in biology and Afro and African American studies. And then my graduate degree, they were like, oh my goodness, as a Black woman in the sciences, people are going to be knocking down your doors. You're always going to have a job. Huh. That just hasn't been the case. That is a myth. You're not going to get a job just because you're Black, or just because you're female, or just because you're male, or just, it's not, it doesn't work. Would you agree or disagree? You know, I don't know.
I think that's true. That's true. It's definitely even with the PhD thing, how we mentioned there, right? Once you get the PhD, you think everything's going to be set. That's not the case, right? Mm-hmm. This is life.
Yeah.
And stuff goes on in life. You know what I'm saying? Yep. And you can have all the qualifications, but life still happens.
Yep.
And you're going to have those people in power who want you to win and succeed. And then you got the people in the power who do not want you to succeed at all.
That's right.
So it's like, it's no guarantees. You know what I'm saying? But as you mentioned, you keep going at it. You keep having that determination. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep that mindset straightforward. And you focus on your goals and nobody else's expectations on you. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You
can get right. There. Exactly. Get there. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And so don't pursue a career because people tell you, oh, you're going to be a commodity. You know, pursue it because you want to do it. Like, because I pursued the sciences and microbiology and my PhD because that's what I wanted. You know, I made my mind in high school, and I know I'm an anomaly because a lot of people don't know that's what they want to do in high school. But you know, do it because you want to, not because you think it's going to get you somewhere in the end. Because, like you said, it's life, and you can be disappointed. And most likely will be. And so do it because that's your passion. That's what you love, you know? And if it's your passion, it's what you love, it'll grow and it'll come, because baby science is my passion. And I love it. And it's growing. And it's growing. And
yes,
I just feel
is.
Like, you know, this is my fate. This is what God has in store for me. And I put it as, okay, I'm not getting these other jobs, or I'm not getting these full-time jobs because, you know, maybe it's just meant for me to do baby scientist full-time and to push forward there. And honestly, that's what I'm leaning towards now. You know, I have felt unappreciated and rejected by the community college that I work at now. And so, you know, I've made up my mind that this is about to be my last semester, you know, teaching there. They don't value or appreciate what I bring to the table. Well, I need to put all of my efforts and abilities and time into baby scientists and get into where I can, because I can do more. There's more that I can do, and I'm limited because I'm working for them. And so, you know, I'm going to work for myself full time. And, you know, and I was telling my spouse, I said, you know, because she's like, what? We're going to need the income. And it's like, yeah, we will. But, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in God, and baby scientist has been blessed. You know, we float on blessings, and I walked out on water on faith. Stepped out on faith to create it and build it and have gotten this far. And I'm going to step out on faith to build it even more. And so that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to quit, you know, my little part-time job, and I'm going to do this full time. And I have faith in myself. I have faith in God, and I believe in what I'm doing. And my collaborators, you know, they keep telling me of more and more that they want to do. They keep telling other people about me. So I'm going to continue to collaborate with the DEA and more offices of theirs. So I'm going to continue to grow. So I'm worried, but I'm not worried to the fact that it's not going to that it's going to deter me from doing what I want to do. And so you just have to make that leap of faith sometime. And I've done it before, and I haven't been disappointed from God's blessings, and I'm going to continue to walk on water and believe that God got me. Because the mission is important. It's near and dear to my heart, and I'm going to see it through, and I'm not going to let it fail. And I know God's going to provide. So we're going to take it to the top. And so, in a couple of years, I'm trying to, if I can't get my mobile lab right now, I was like, okay, if I can't get my big bus right now, I'm gonna get a smaller bus. So within the next year or so, I'm gonna try to get a smaller bus just to carry my supplies and things around and just step by step, continue to grow.
Yeah, man, mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you for today. I'm so excited for you. You know what I'm saying? Like, Baby Scientist is about to grow. It's already growing, as you mentioned, but it's like, I just see this even going to grow higher than you even think. Yeah. So I'm just saying that right now. It's about to be crazy. You got to have a crazy year. So I'm just excited for you. And I just want to say thank you. Like, truly, thank you for sharing your story today. I hope that the listeners got something from it. This has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much, Dr. Christy McDowell. You're an inspiration to the next generation, and it was a pleasure having you on today. Thank you.
All right, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you letting me come on and tell my story, and I hope some people find some inspiration in my journey and in my path. And if there's anybody out there that wants to work with Baby Scientist, an intern, hey, just hit me up on my website. I'm on Instagram, babyscientist_org. And the thing about Baby Scientist I didn't say is that I came up with the name back in like 1998 before I went to grad school. I made an email, babyscientist@yahoo.com. So you can always reach me at that, because I was like, I'm a baby scientist. I'm going to grad school to be a big scientist. So that's how I came up with the name Baby Scientist back in the day. So that's why I called my organization that. And so I'm just happy that it's come to fruition and that we're going to grow. And so hopefully we can collaborate one day, some workshops or whatnot. I may be in the area sometime this year. So I'll definitely reach out to you and see what we can do.
Okay, that sounds great to me. You know what I'm saying? So let's definitely do that. Thank you so much, Dr. Christy, for everything. And definitely, Baby Scientist, if y'all don't know about it, please look it up. If you are in that area up east, definitely reach out to Baby Scientist. They're doing amazing things. I can't stress that enough. Thank you all for today. And that is Don't Be Scared of Podcasts.
All right, great. Take care.